This episode is presented by BetMGM, the exclusive betting partner of The Athletic. Sign up at BetMGM.com using the promo code THEATHLETICPOD. There are few things more important to an NBA player's performance than their diet. Food is fuel, especially so for the greatest athletes in the world.
You have clients who don't want a salt-based diet. You got to go and look for a different season that's not salt-based. They might have a diet to where it's for their blood type.
That is Christian Bowman, a celebrity chef who has worked with some of basketball's biggest stars, including Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, and Russell Westbrook.
Like, I'm not the ordinary chef. Like, I'm going to come in, like, I wear my chef coat, but sometimes, you know, I'm having on some swaggy kicks, or I'm also going to bring my business savvy and my mentality and my work ethic, and the food is going to be off the chain.
And there's more to being a private chef than just cooking. Breaking Bread has bonded Christian with his clients.
I'm working with you every day. I'm waking up in the morning with you. I'm probably the first one that you see when you wake up because I'm cooking breakfast. So you definitely build that bond. It's more than just cooking. Like, you're dealing with a lot of other different aspects.
Christian's journey has taken him from South Central LA to living in Jimmy Butler's houses, from working three jobs to sitting courtside at NBA games, from watching the Food Network as a kid to living out his childhood dreams.
As a private chef, you're in these different homes and, like, you know, they really have to put trust in you because it's a very intimate job. You know, you're hearing different conversations, you're seeing different things.
His story is our episode today. I'm Jovan Buha from The Athletic, and this is Stargazing. Yo, yo, welcome to Stargazing, a show about the lifestyle figures and influencers that surround the superstars in NBA culture. I'm your host, Jovan Buha, NBA reporter for The Athletic. And joining me is Christian Bowman, aka Chef Sebo. He is a private chef to athletes and celebrities, including the likes of Jimmy Butler, Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving. Christian, thank you for being here.
Man, thank you for having me, bro. I appreciate you reaching out. Like I said, this is LL Podcast, so coming on here is a blessing, so thank you for having me.
So let's get into your story. You're a chef, but your first love was basketball.
Definitely.
So how did you fall in love with basketball? What's your relationship with basketball growing up?
Growing up as a kid, I mean, you always want to play some type of sport. My role model back then was my older brother. He played basketball. He played at Palisades High School. He played Division I basketball, and I kind of, like, looked up to him as a kid. When I was kind of, like, younger growing up, you know, I kind of wanted to be like him. And I fell in love with the game at an early age. Started playing basketball probably at the age of, like, 5 or 6. I played from elementary school to middle school, high school. And, yeah, play AAU a little bit, and I just kind of fell in love with the game at an early age.
And then what drew you to cooking? I know your uncle had a big influence on that.
Yes. It's crazy. One day I was about anywhere between, like, I would say 10 or 12. I was watching Food Network one day, and it was a chef by the name of Emeril Lagasse. I love watching his show.
Legend.
Home. Yes. He used to always do the bang. I love that. So one day I just came home. I was watching it, and I just kind of fell in love with it. I really just wanted to be on the show. But I'm like, I'm too young. I'm probably never going to be on this show. So I'm like, why don't I try to make something that he made? Prior, my mom is a very great cook. She's always been cooking, her and my grandmother, when it comes to holidays and things like that. So, you know, I would watch her in the kitchen. Then I also had an uncle who was a chef who cooked very well, worked in a few restaurants. You know, he didn't really get to further his education or, like, really get to that level because he was incarcerated. But when he got out, you know, he kind of, like, when I told him that I was interested in cooking, you know, he taught me a few things. And from there, I just kind of kept it going. I remember the first thing he said was just like, you know, chefs make great money. He was like, women love a dude who can cook. So that was two things. I'm like, you know, I can get girls from this and I can make money. So I'm like, why not? So from there, I just kind of grew a passion. And it was something that Emeril made. I think it was like stuffed bell peppers or something like that. And I told my mom I wanted to make that. So from there, I made it and it came out extremely well. And from then, I would watch her. I would get the basic seasonings and I would just learn every day. And I just got better at it.
And then your senior year of high school is when you fully decided.
So my senior year of high school, I used to always want to be in the cooking class in high school. I could never get in. I guess, you know, teachers thought, like, you just want this easy A. You play sports. I played basketball in high school. So I could never get in the class. Then finally, my senior year, I ended up taking the cooking class. And the teacher found out that I could really cook. She ends up putting me in a competition, and I ended up taking second place out of like 50 kids. And from there, I was like, yo, this might be something I need to take serious. And she really pushed me and wanted me to do it. And, you know, I kind of thank her for that. And that's where I kind of started. That's where my passion grew.
So you start pursuing it, and you're working a couple jobs at the time. What is that time in your life like?
Man, at this time, I'm graduating high school, trying to figure out what I really want to do. Just trying to see, you know, if it's cooking what I really want to do or what. So at this time, also helping my mother, who was a single mother of four kids, you know, she needed help. So I'm working two jobs. I'm working at Santa Monica Library. I was working at the shoe store called Peak Sports. And a few athletes were actually at that time were actually sponsored by Peak. And I was working at, like, it was in Fox Hill. So at that time, I'm working two jobs, still trying to figure out what I want to do. And I knew I wanted to cook. So from then, I went to school. I ended up going to school, ended up graduating, and just was still just trying to figure out, like, do I want to work in a restaurant? Do I want to do private work? Do I want to do catering? Like, what did I want to do? Tried to work in a restaurant. It just really wasn't my thing. I feel like it was a lot of long hours, and you wasn't really making the type of money that I feel like I wanted to make at that stage in my life. And unless you're like a head chef, you really don't really make that much. So I thankfully had a friend who introduced me to, like, she's like a big sister and like a mentor to me now. Her name is Tiffany. She has her own catering business called Something Good to Eat. And I started working with her while I was still working my two jobs. And kind of like, she kind of gave me that path to show me, like, this is what I could be doing, working with people with this type of caliber of status or whatever it may be. And, you know, I just kind of kept going from there.
And then A$AP Rocky is your first big break. How do you link with him?
Man, it's crazy. So my pops stays in Atlanta. I went to school out there in my sixth grade year. I went to high school out there in my ninth and 10th grade year. A lot of people don't know this. People listen to, you know, know who Playboi Carti is. I grew up with him. I've been knowing him since he was like 8 years old. I knew his older brother, and I had another friend that grew up in Atlanta. We all stayed in like the same cul-de-sac, and we would play basketball together. Around this time, he was like a real little kid. So I remember he was always talented, always wanted to do music. I had lost contact with them like a few years ago. And somehow I connected with one of my boys, and it was like, you know, Jordan is just signed with A$AP. And he was like, bro, I want to connect you with him. So I hadn't talked to him yet. We got on the phone. We got on the FaceTime call. He was like, yo, bro, I'm being in L.A. Like, I hear you cooking. You're doing your thing. Like, I want to, you know, help you out with A$AP. That's how I ended up getting that. And he was the first celebrity that I ever cooked for. And it went well, man. And he loved the food. They all loved it. And I feel like that was what kind of took me up a level when I started cooking for him.
What was that moment like for you getting that first big break and having, were you nervous? Were you chill? Like, how did you kind of approach that?
Man, I was definitely nervous. This was my first celebrity client. This was something that I had been wanting to do. And I feel like God is finally blessing me to do what I want to do and to do what I love and what I was passionate about. So definitely nervous, but I knew I was built for this. I worked hard for this. I've been grinding my whole life. And I was like, this is your moment right here. And I knew I had to take advantage of it. So when I first got there, all the nerves and all that went out the window. Like, this is what you want to do. So you got to get on it and, you know, make this best meal that you could ever make. And I did that. And he loved it. And, you know, he brought me back plenty of times after that.
Do you remember the meal?
Yes. So he's pescatarian. So I made a honey glazed salmon with brown rice, and I made these, like, it was like a mixed veggies, and he loved it. They killed it.
That sounds good.
Appreciate that, man.
And then, so I guess from there, it's like a domino effect, right? You start getting referrals, different clients. Mm-hmm. I think Kyrie is your first NBA client.
Yes. So I took the picture with A$AP, man. He was really cool. I ended up putting it up on Instagram, and that, like, went viral. That was, like, my first, I feel like, 1,000-like picture on Instagram. So that was big around that time. So then after that, it's crazy. I was, this lady had hit me up and introduced me. She was trying to do a show, and it was a show about chefs. It never really got picked up or anything, but I met these other chefs. And it was this girl named Alex, who's a dope chef from LA, man. She ended up hitting me up one day. That's crazy how God works. Like, she ended up hitting me up one day, like, yo, I referred you to this lady. I don't know who she works for or who, you know, she cooks for or worked for, whatever it is, but I gave her your Instagram. I was like waiting for the lady. And this at the time when, I guess at the time, DMs didn't really have like the box to where your DMs go.
Filter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I looked and I had a DM. Now she was like, hey, my name is so-and-so, so-and-so. I work for Kyrie Irving. I'm like, whoa, I'm like, this is big. So she was like, yeah, I want to know how much you charge. I want to know what's your availability. And then from there, I let her know everything and it all worked out. And it's crazy how one of my friends, actually my good friends, actually knew Kyrie at the time too. So I feel like I end up letting him know, like, look, this lady hit me up. She's working for Kyrie. And he was like, man, that's crazy. I got to talk to him right now. So I feel like that also kind of helped me get that job as well.
When they ask you that, do you have a price in mind, or are you kind of looking at the market and trying to think about, because obviously you could sell yourself short a little bit or lowball yourself.
At that time, I didn't know how to charge. Hmm. So I talked to a few people and I know you just got to really understand your worth and understand your craft. And at that time, I was charging like per plate. So I was charging, I think, $100 per plate per person. That was like my first, and at first they was like, I don't know, that's kind of too high. And then I feel like once I kind of started working and they understood, like, okay, this dude is worth what he's charging. And this kind of went on from there.
Then you eventually end up linking with Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
And you become his private live-in chef. Mm-hmm. I think you're in Minnesota for a bit, Philly for a bit. What is that like, and kind of the contrast of maybe doing a one-off meal for a client versus actually living, you know, with them and being with them all day?
So when I first started, I always knew I wanted to like be someone's private chef. I wanted to go, whether it was in LA or whether it was some other city, I knew I wanted to do that. So at this time, most athletes come to LA during the summertime for the off season. So a lot of people was hitting me up during that off season, but I would be working, I would work with an athlete, and then we would try to figure it out. And then something would happen. It just wouldn't work. So I would be back to working the two jobs again, trying to figure out, you know, what I'm going to do. But I mean, I saved up enough money to be able to, okay, I may have to wait next summer for another client. So at this time, I ended up meeting this guy named Vic, who's a stylist from LA, works with a lot of different dudes. And he actually met me when I was cooking for Tyree Evans and for Kyrie. He ended up reaching out to me and I started cooking for him. You know, he loved my food. He introduced me to a few people, was posting my stuff on Instagram, which how I got Jimmy Butler was this dude named Chris Johnson, which is like my big brother now. He's an NBA trainer. Mm-hmm. He reached out to him, was like, yo, Jimmy is looking for a chef in LA. Like, who do you have? And he told him, don't look any further. I got somebody perfect for you. And that's how I end up getting Jimmy Butler. And then we end up setting it up and I end up cooking breakfast. He loves breakfast. He's a big breakfast guy. End up cooking breakfast. Literally, after I cooked breakfast, the next day he was like, yo, I want to talk to you about something. And I kind of already knew what it was. And I was like, I called my mom. I called my friends. I was like, man, I think I just landed a full-time job working with Jimmy. And the next day, I walked in the house. He took me into a private room. He was like, look, man, I think your food is amazing. I really want you to come cook for me during the season. You know, we could, you know, figure out the details, but I really want you. And that's how that ended up happening.
And then you've characterized your relationship with him as being brothers. Like, what, I guess, how close did you guys get with just, you know, that bond?
Man, we definitely got close. Working with him as a private chef, you're in these different homes and like you really have to, you know, they really have to put trust in you because it's a very intimate job. You know, you're hearing different conversations, you're seeing different things. Athletes, they go through, they're regular people. They go through things just like we go through things. So it was like you get to see all of that. So we definitely grew over time, man. We took trips together. We talked about a lot of different things where it came to just life, family. And as you're working with somebody, you kind of grow that bond and you get closer to them. Like I'm working with you every day. I'm waking up in the morning with you. I'm probably the first one that you see when you wake up because I'm cooking breakfast. So whether you're sad, whether you're happy, whether you're glad, you know, I'm the first person you talk to. So
you're almost like a therapist.
Exactly, for real. So you definitely build that bond. It's more than just cooking. Like, you're dealing with a lot of other different aspects of this job and this career.
So along those lines, some of the clients that you've worked with, be it Jimmy, Kyrie, Russ, these guys are all known for having strong personalities,
yes,
right? And being very opinionated.
Yes, very.
So what is that? I mean, you just kind of talked about Jimmy, but what is that dynamic like working with those guys? And maybe what's the side of them that you see that the public doesn't get to see?
Man, it's definitely, when you're dealing with these athletes and you work with them hand on, it's like, like you said, you see things that other people don't see. Everybody has different personality traits. Everybody, you know, some people could be a little different than others, a little cooler than others. I think you just kind of have to understand someone's personality, and you just kind of got to grow and go from there. I've dealt with a lot of different things, man. I've had different disagreements with my client, but as you get closer, you can kind of like talk through those things. Like, you know, like I said, these are not just my clients, they become like family. So I feel like I have a different dynamic to where if it's a disagreement or anything that I need to change or I need to do, I feel like we can talk to each other about that without being impersonal. But at the end of the day, it's also a business. And you have to do what you have to do. But I mean, everybody's different. It's you deal with a lot of different personalities and different, man, just did a lot of different things when it comes to this job.
Did anybody surprise you with anything about their personality? You know, was someone maybe funnier than you thought, or was into something kind of random that you were like, what's?
I think Jimmy and Kyrie, most of my clients, they're all characters, man. Jimmy is a dude who listens to country music, he'll drive a van to the game.
Cowboy hats, cowboy boots.
And Kyrie can be like that too, man. Great guy. He's funny. He likes to dance. Like, these guys are just all, you might think like, okay, like, you know, these guys are superstar athletes, but they're regular people, you know, and they want to be treated as regular. Like, they want to be able to eat with their family. They want to be able to eat with their friends. Like, they're so different. But being around these different people, you learn a lot of different things. And just like, it's a great opportunity to be around this, and I'm just thankful to, you know, being able to, these guys share their home and share their personal lives with me.
As far as your process of linking with them and cooking, so let's say, you know, rep hits you up on Instagram or gets your email, phone number, whatever, what is that process from, like, that first step to actually cooking from them? Like, what do you, I know you have a questionnaire, you know, different things, like how do you kind of go into each client?
So usually when somebody wants me to cook for them, I usually, they either reach out via email or via DM. And then from there, I usually have assistant that may reach out to them. And I send a questionnaire, let them know my prices, and see if that works with their budget or whatever they want to pay. And then from there, I send a questionnaire like, what do you eat? What don't you eat? Are you trying to gain weight? Are you trying to lose weight? Are you trying to maintain weight? Yeah, that's, are you allergic to anything? Do you have any food allergies? You know, that's it. And then from there, once that initial format and that DM is formulated, from there, it's just like, okay, let's get ready to go. Yo, I need you here at this time, at this address. And then from there, just time to get to work.
And then what's a typical day like from start to finish?
A typical day, I like to, depending on the menu, when it comes to cooking, I'm very creative. So I like to create my menu the day before, or a few days prior, depending on how much time I have. And once I create that menu, they say I have a client, you know, athletes, they're getting up early in the morning because they either have a workout or it's game day or whatever the case may be. So I'm waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning, depending if I have to drive. I may have to drive 30, 45 minutes away to get to their house, depending where they stay. And then from there, and that's if I don't go to the grocery shopping the day before, I may have to do it in the morning. So I have to get up even earlier. So after I do all that, get to their house by a certain time, wait, cooking breakfast. And after that, they eat breakfast. I clean up everything, make sure the kitchen is spotless. Everything is taken care of. Everything is put back neatly the way it was. And if I'm doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner, depending on how close the client is, like, most of my clients, they usually like, bro, if you want to stay here and chill until it's time to cook lunch, you can do that. Or if you want to leave and you got to do something else, you can do that as well. So if it's something like that where I'm cooking breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I might stay at the crib and just chill, relax, start prepping for lunch at a certain time, then get lunch ready. Then from there, do it all over again, clean the kitchen again, make sure it's spotless, and then just chill until it's time to cook dinner. Now I'm cooking dinner, prep the food, cook the food, set it out, make sure everything is laid out nice and neatly. And once everybody is done cooking the dishes again, then it's time to get out of here, go home, get some rest, and do it all over again.
What are some of the perks of being a chef for athletes and celebrities?
Man, it's a lot of great perks. I've been in different countries. I've traveled with my clients to different countries. I've been in beautiful houses. I've been in some amazing houses that I thought that, you know, I would never probably even see or even be in. Getting to fly private, being on private planes, being on private jets, being able to sit with Jimmy. I was blessed, you know, the first year I got with him, I was sitting courtside the whole year. So being able to experience things like that, I've received, you know, gifts from my clients that have blessed me, you know, for Christmas or for my birthday. Being around these is definitely a blessing, and it's dope to be able to, you know, just enjoy the fruits of your labor.
We'll get back to stargazing in a moment, but first, a word from our sponsors.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
You mentioned the different goals of your clients being gaining weight, maintaining weight, losing weight. How does that affect how you cook for them and maybe the ingredients that you're using or where you're shopping for, depending on their goal?
Definitely. That's big. You want to make sure athletes, they have a certain weight to maintain. Like I said, whether they're trying to gain, they're trying to maintain, or they're trying to lose. You have clients who don't want a salt-based diet, so you have to kind of create you got to go and look for different seasons that's not salt-based. You have some clients that don't eat certain things, whether they only eat fish or they only eat chicken or they only eat, beef, or they might have a diet to where it's for their blood type. Like, all these things go into this when you're cooking for an athlete. I like to shop organically. I love going to Whole Foods are going to a farmer's market and getting a lot of fresh veggies and a lot of fresh fish for any type of meat for their diet. The fuel that you put in your body is very big for these athletes, and this is what keeps them going every day.
You're obviously very busy cooking for athletes, especially, living with Jimmy. And during those times, are you making a little extra for yourself and kind of putting that plate to the side?
That's actually another big perk. Okay. So athletes, I will say this about them. They do not eat leftovers. It could be something that they love. They eat it. They would. And sometimes, for the most part, I will say, my food is so amazing. Sometimes I really don't have leftovers like that. But when it is, they would not eat it the next day. They always want something new and something fresh. And it's like, I understand, they paying for it, so it's like, I want something new. But don't get me wrong, I'm definitely taking those leftovers home to eat the next day. If they won't eat it, I think that's a blessing with me. It's crazy. When I'm cooking, I always usually lose my appetite because I'm tasting things and I really don't have an appetite. And it was at a point where I would cook for people, I wouldn't really eat. My clients were like, bro, you don't want to eat? Like, come on, you're not gonna eat this good food with me? Like, just eat. I'm like, bro, I'm cool. I'm not really that hungry from tasting everything, but I take a leftover plate after. So when he doesn't want it, I'm definitely taking that home. And I think that's a great perks because I don't have to go grocery shopping or I don't have to do this. I'm cooking what I eat, and it's also healthy, so it's also helping me out as well.
So I was gonna ask, are you ever in a situation where you don't have a lot of time and you maybe have to cook something up quickly for you and or like, I guess maybe you're just eating whatever you're cooking, so it's fine?
I'll tell everybody this, and a lot of chefs can understand me. It's like, people are like, why you never cook for yourself? Like, I'm cooking every day. Imagine you doing what you love or you doing your job and you got to bring it home and do it again. And that's how I feel. Like, only time I really cook for myself, if I have a dish that I really want to try out, I'm like, okay, let me figure this out, or let me tweak this a little bit. That's the only time I really cook for myself.
So are you ordering in a lot, or it's all the leftovers?
If I'm not eating leftovers, I'm probably ordering in.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had to stop that for a little bit, because when you're eating, that way to catch up to you. So definitely, if I'm not taking no leftovers, I'm probably ordering in.
Okay. What's your favorite dish to cook?
My favorite dish, I love seafood. I have these amazing tacos that all my clients love. It is a honey sriracha salmon taco with a sliced strawberry, a sliced jalapeno, some cilantro with cotija cheese, a little bit of hint of lemon or lime, It's the best taco you ever eat.
I haven't had breakfast, man. This is tough listening to all this food talk. what's the most epic cheat meal or cheat day that you've had for a client?
The most epic, I would say, I made this for most of my clients. I would probably say my crab stuffed lobster tail with garlic truffle mashed potatoes with some type of veggie, and I would do like a garlic cream sauce to go over the top. I guess it's amazing. It's a great meal to eat for sure. Or some of my clients I make a great hamburger, so I have a really juicy like stuffed hamburger that I make with that stuff with like peppers and cheese that I make that my clients love with fresh homemade cut French fries. So
that sounds fire, man.
Appreciate that, bro.
What was the first I made it moment in your career? Was it the ASAP Rocky, linking with him, or was there some other moment where you just kind of looked at yourself in the mirror and were like, I made it?
Man, that's a great question. I would say that moment would be probably when I first started cooking for ASAP. And then when I got to cook, probably ASAP and Kyrie. And I was just like, because it was just kind of like back, they both were back to back. And it was just like, at that time in my life, I was just like, wow. Like I had a point in my life to where when I first started out after school, it was at a point to where I thought to myself, like, I didn't even know if I even wanted to do this anymore. Because I felt like I was working so hard and doing this, and I really wasn't getting anybody. And I was seeing people who I thought I might have been better than. But, you know, I had to understand, like, my quote is always saying, it's God's timing, like, not my timing. And I had to understand, like, you just had to wait your turn. And I did that, and I just kept grinding and kept working, and I'm at to where I'm at now. But I would definitely say cooking for ASAP and cooking for Kyrie was definitely the, wow, like, I think I got made it. You know, I'm really here now. And I just got to keep it going, stay level-headed, stay humble, and keep grinding and working hard and don't stop.
How important is social media and Instagram in particular for a chef in 2022?
Man, Instagram is very important. That's the biggest thing right now. It's a marketing tool. As long as you're using it right, it could be your best friend. I feel like that's where I got, where I have most of my clients at, just posting. I remember I told myself, like, I just want to keep posting great food, keep putting hashtags, and that worked. I've had clients hit me up. I'm actually like, yo, bro, I just want to know, how did you find me? If it wasn't word of mouth, it was, I looked up a hashtag that had LA Chef, and I've seen your pictures, and it looked amazing, so I wanted to reach out to you. So Instagram is definitely big. It's a tool. Now they have reels where people are growing with these reels. Being able to post your food and be able to showcase, that is the way right now for chefs.
So it sounds like you got a lot of your business that way.
Definitely. A lot of my business came from Instagram. Word of mouth and Instagram, definitely. Instagram was a big help for me to get to where I'm at today.
And then coming up, what do you think differentiated you from other chefs? Was it, obviously your work, but, to kind of stand out, was it the social media stuff you were doing or just maybe some of the relationships you were able to form early? Or what do you think kind of allowed you to make it versus other people that were maybe coming up around the same time?
I say a little bit of everything. My work ethic, I didn't stop. I didn't give up. I just kept going. I will also say I had to understand how big relationships were. Being able to go to different events or being in a room and be able to shake hands with certain people and just kind of like keep that network opportunity, because you never know where it could take you. Also feel like me being me, I never change for anything, no matter who I'm with or who I'm around. Just being humble and being yourself. I feel like a lot of my clients that really gave me the opportunity, what they saw in me, they kind of saw in themselves at a certain age. Like, and I feel like I kind of come from where some of these athletes come from. When I feel like when you can relate to somebody like that and you can talk to somebody and understand that, that's big. And I feel like a lot of my clients that's what kind of gave them the faith to give me the opportunity. It was like, yo, I like the way he moved, or I can talk to this dude, I can relate to this person. I feel like that's what kind of makes me a little different. Like, I'm not the ordinary chef. Like, I'm going to come in, like, I wear my chef coat, but sometimes, I'm having on some swaggy kicks. Or
You got the Jordans, you got the chains.
Yeah, like I'm going to switch it up. But I'm also going to bring my business savvy and my mentality and my work ethic, and the food is going to be off the chain. So I think that's just what makes me different from other chefs.
How did the pandemic affect your job? Because I assume, you know, going from being in person, a lot of these situations, you kind of have to be in person to cook for them. How did that affect things?
The crazy thing is it actually helped me in ways. In my line of work, everybody has to eat. At that time, restaurants were closed. You couldn't really do much. So it's like these athletes are like, what can I do? How am I going to eat or how am I going there? The best thing to do is hire a private chef. And at that time, I was actually working like crazy. That also gave me a time to figure out different avenues of doing. I was never getting on live. I was never, you know, doing classes and stuff like that. Like that stuff made you kind of work harder and kind of figure out different things with yourself and with your career. But I stayed busy. That was one time. Like I was working like crazy during the pandemic. And I'm thankful for that because I know, you know, a lot of people didn't really have that opportunity that I had. So, but I'm definitely thankful. And yeah, and it kind of helped me a lot.
You just got back from Pittsburgh. What were you doing out there?
I was cooking for Juju Smith-Schuster during the football season. I've been with him for about 2.5 years. So I was out there for a little bit. First time in Pittsburgh, getting to enjoy the different weather in a different city. It was cool. Got to go to a few games. So it was amazing. I literally just got back. Season's over. So I literally just got back to LA, back out here doing other things. So yeah.
By different weather, you mean cold weather?
Very cold. Yeah, it's very cold. It's a beautiful city, but it's very cold. For some reason, I always get the athletes that's in the cold cities, man. It's tough, but I love it.
What is Data Chef? I know you use that hashtag. You got the hat, the merch.
Yeah, so Data Chef was something that is funny, something I used to get girls when I first started. I had put it, it was a meme back in the day on Instagram that was like, it was like, data whatever, keep calm. So I was like, that's kind of dope. So instead of the calm part, I just put Data Chef and I put on a t-shirt. I remember going to a party and everybody was like, oh, you're a chef. I like that shirt. That's dope. And then I start hashtagging my pictures with it. And it just kind of got catchy. Like people would laugh about it. Like, that's funny. So once that hats came out, I ended up putting it on the hat. And it was a marketing tool for me. I kind of used it. It was, at first I felt like it was, you know, 41, but now it was more so a marketing tool. I've wore that hat out and people are like, oh, you're a chef. Yeah, here's my business card or here's this. And by the next day, I'd be cooking for them. I've made money just off wearing that hat. So it was more so, now it's more so like a marketing tool for me to be out and to meet different people.
How many non-celebrity / athlete clients do you normally have at a time? Because I assume those are probably taking, you know, preferential, you know, kind of in your schedule, right? Because it's probably more money.
For sure. Me, I'm on a first come, first serve basis. Whether you are athlete or non-athlete, if you're willing to pay me and afford my services, I don't really care who you are. I wanted to work with anybody. I feel like I've worked my way up to get to where I'm at today and to be able to charge and to do the things that I do. So if I'm on a first come first basis. If you want me and you want me to do this and you're willing to pay that fee, I'm willing to work with anybody. So, you know, it's almost about the same. I've worked for non-athletes, I work for athletes, I work for, you know, people who own companies, CEOs, I work for them all.
Looking back on your career, what is one piece of advice you would give an aspiring chef right now?
If I had to give somebody one piece of advice, would be to first keep God first and just to keep going and never stop. In this career, I've been here and I've been back down here, I've been up again, I've been back down. So in this career, you just can't give up and you just got to keep fighting for what you want. Nothing comes easy in this. I had a lot of tears, a lot of hard nights, a lot of long nights, but I just kept going. Nipsey is one of my favorite artists. You know, it's a marathon. You know, you just got to keep going and don't stop, man. Just keep it going. Like and we all have to start from somewhere. So don't look at somebody else's success and base it off where you're trying to go and where you're trying to be. Like I said, it's God's time and not your time. So my advice would just be to just keep working hard, keep God first, and don't ever stop. No matter how hard it is, just keep going.
What is Christian doing in 2025?
I actually want to have my own food truck or I want a restaurant. Those are two things that I'm working on and I'm trying to do now. So hopefully by that time, I would be flourishing in that business.
What type of food would it be? for I guess the restaurant, same food or
if it was a restaurant, I probably would have a lot of different things, from American to Italian to just a lot of different dishes. I'm a creative when it comes to that, so it'll probably be a lot of different things. But if I had a food truck, I love tacos. Tacos, being from LA, it's a staple. That's one of my favorite things to eat, and I have a lot of different taco ideas, not just no ordinary tacos, but some very creative fusion type of taco ideas. So I definitely probably would do a taco truck.
Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
This is my Instagram. Follow me at Chef Sebo. You know, you can catch me on there. If you need a chef or you need somebody to come cook you up an amazing meal, you can reach out to me there. And just be on the lookout soon. I'll be coming out, you know, with my own seasoning line and my cookbook. So that's another thing that I'm working on.
That does it for this episode of Stargazing. To watch the full-length interview of this episode, go to The Athletic's YouTube page. There's a playlist right there of each episode. To become a subscriber at The Athletic, go to my Twitter account, @YovanBuha, and click on any of my stories. Thanks again for listening.